All right, Brother Board, why don't you come? Thankful for him and glad that the Lord worked it out for him to be with us. Of course, he is with us Thursday and Friday, and so glad to have him back. Let's give him a warm welcome.
Oh, no, I'm not. I'm sorry. It's my bad. Good morning. Everybody excited to be alive today? I had no idea Brother Chim was such a comedian. I'm just sitting there loving that. I know if we had to buy a ticket to listen to that, but that was good. It's good to see all of you dressed in some of your different culture garb. When Debbie and I got on the airplane, of course, we're trying to conserve because now they charge for every ounce that you bring with you on the plane. And so she asked me, do we bring our international clothes for Long Beach? Because when we're done here, we fly right back to the Midwest and travel again for other conferences. I said, no, we're not going to need our international clothes in Long Beach. Over there, it's suits and ties, and that's it. I'm going to tell you, there's a reason why Brother Esposito surrendered to go to Southeast Asia. He asked me for a list of countries where he wouldn't have to wear a tie and not be judged. And so he chose from those countries. Well, I'm kind of the same way. If I could get out of wearing a tie this morning, I would. But we didn't bring it. Go ahead. So I saw a pastor at the door. And I said, Pastor, you're looking quite dapper this morning. He has his Cambodian shirt on. At first, I thought it was a white Buddhist monk, to be honest with you. This is awesome. I don't know, what we're going to do about that. But praise the Lord, the monk came to church this morning. Then I realized it was actually Pastor, okay? I said, well, Pastor, you have your Cambodian shirt on. Are you anticipating surrendering to the field to go to Cambodia? And we need more missionaries there. There's lots of opportunities there. And he said, I surrendered to the mission field years ago. In fact, I surrendered to go to Mexico. God didn't call me. God didn't allow me to go, but he gave me a Mexican wife, okay? So it's not bad. You need to surrender, okay? And, right. Depends on what kind of wife you want. Just surrender to that particular country. And you never know what God might do, but or might not do. Guys, it's really good to be here. It's a great blessing. In a moment, we're going to show a video from the field. This is a video we show in churches around the country. And by the way, it's all God's grace. It's God's goodness. The theme of this video is God's faithfulness. I'm grateful and blessed by God's faithfulness in my life personally and in our church body corporately. Amen? I'm sure if we were to take the time this morning to have each of us stand up and share a few blessings, we could do that. We could take up the whole hour. But because our time is short, and because here in America we're time-oriented and not event-oriented, I'm going to try my very best to get you all out on time. Come back tonight. Come back tonight. Come back anticipating for God to speak to our hearts. Okay? And it's been a great blessing to be here. Thank you for helping us to feel welcome. You know, it was 18 years ago that we stood in the old auditorium and Pastor commissioned us to leave and to go to Southeast Asia. And you'll remember we came back for a short time to help cast vision for a team and do some things in the college, and then we returned back to the field after some team members surrendered. But it's very difficult, you need to know this, it's difficult for your missionaries, even like us, who grew up here, and you realize we didn't come here, we came here, Pastor, since we were 22 years old. I figure pretty much we grew up here, okay? I'm now 27, and now see that right there, Brother Snyder, hurt my heart a lot. I'm tempted to preach on kindness, okay? Be kind or something. It's very difficult for your missionaries who have been gone for years to come back, and thank you for making Debbie and I feel welcome. It's been a great blessing. Okay, it's been a great blessing and encouragement. So we're going to watch this video, then I will probably tell you a short story, and then we will turn to Psalm chapter 76, and we will start there. So if y'all are going to have a problem finding the book of Psalms, you can look for it during the video, okay? Psalm chapter 76. All right, men, let's go.
It's difficult to describe to you what it's like as Americans to move to a foreign country, to move to a foreign city, to rent a building, and to announce a starting date for a brand new church, to show up to church that Sunday morning, and to wonder if anybody else will be there other than your own family. It was here in this crowded neighborhood, in the middle of Phnom Penh, that the Lord led us to begin the church. We were surrounded by tens of thousands of people who were living hectic lives, just simply trying to survive another day.
We quickly discovered that they had little interest in listening to the gospel, and even less interest in being part of a church like ours.
Until this point, the model that we had seen of gospel-preaching churches that are faithful to the Word of God here in Cambodia was typically one of a very small congregation, with the average church size being about 18 members. In fact, we told our landlord that we could not even imagine the church ever getting over 30 people.
It was on that basis that he agreed to rent us his building.
Although the gospel first came to Cambodia by missionaries nearly 100 years ago, and many missionaries have come and gone and have desired to see God move in a mighty way, we have yet to see a true work of God in this country, as many still hold on to their ancestral teaching of merit and karma. Here in Cambodia, it is said, "Tuer bon ban bon, tuer ba ban ba, kluen ti ban kluen." If you do good, you'll receive good. If you do bad, you'll receive bad. You've got to depend upon your own merit.
Confusion brought about by the cults and the false teachings of the prosperity gospel from America as well as other countries has greatly contributed to the rejection of the true gospel here in Cambodia.
We thank God for his faithfulness in allowing our team and our family to not only see a great harvest in this crowded location, but at the same time to see satellite ministries started in multiple villages that are reaching not just the Cambodian people, but also two other people groups that are considered unreached with the gospel: the Goy people group, who are predominantly animist, and the Jom people group, who are predominantly Muslim.
Here we see some of the Jom believers singing praises to God in their own heart language.
After years of renting, and when it came close to renew the lease on our building, it became evident that very soon we were going to be priced out of the rental market here in Phnom Penh.
As a church, we began looking for a plot of land that we could afford to purchase, and the Lord led us to place a down payment of $10,000 on a rice field just at the edge of town, located about an hour from where we had been renting.
The owner gave us 60 days to come up with the remaining $75,000. Once again, God proved his faithfulness as he worked in the hearts of the members to sacrificially give in our special offering to purchase the land. Through their sacrifice, as well as through the generous gifts that were given by God's people in other places, we were able to pay the balance by the due date.
Time doesn't permit us to detail God's goodness in providing all that we needed in order to see the new church building constructed.
So many of our national families sacrificially gave and spent months volunteering their time to help pour concrete and build the walls. God's faithfulness was evident every step of the way, as in just 14 months, we were able to complete this beautiful building that will accommodate our church family, as well as allow us to grow in the future.
Just 1 week prior to having the new building totally completed, our village was hit by the worst windstorm in its recorded history.
During the storm, we lost the roof on our own home, as well as the roof on the new church building. While we were definitely tempted to become discouraged, we were able to once again see God's faithful hand each step of the way. The morning after the storm, some of our church family came and began the cleanup process. We also met together for a time of encouragement and prayer and singing praises to the Lord. Here you can hear some of the church singing the hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul."
Once again, God was faithful to provide everything that we needed to completely replace the church roof as well as the roof on our own home.
One of the blessings God has allowed us to enjoy is that of seeing so many of our national families who have been reached through the ministry express their desire to make the local church a central part of their lives by purchasing land near our new church property.
To date, there are more than 80 of our members living within a stone's throw of our new building.
Once our new church building was completed, we were only allowed to meet in it for a few short weeks before restrictions related to COVID were tightened to the extent that we were forbidden to meet in groups larger than 10 individuals. For the past several months, we've been limited to holding online services only under the threat that our property would be confiscated if we tried to use it for church services. Our new online presence has given several of our national men who we've led to the Lord and trained for the ministry, the opportunity to preach. It's been a great blessing for us to witness the Lord use them mightily as they passionately preach the Word of God to their own people online.
អង្គមកដើម្បីឲ្យគ្រួសាររបស់យើងជាគ្រួសារមួយដែលខុសពីគ្រួសាររបស់លោកីដែលមើលតែសុបាយតែមើលតែគេច្នៃចង់បានមិនមែនគ្រួសារមួយដែលបែកបាក់គ្រួសារមួយឆ្លូកគ្នារាល់ថ្ងៃគ្រួសារមួយដែលអត់សូវត្រូវគ្នាដីប្រពន្ធចេះឆ្លូកគ្នាអានឹងមិនមែនទេបងចង់ឲ្យយើងមានគ្រួសារមួយដែលសុបាយគេសុបាយគ្រួសារមួយដែលប្រំបានទទួលស្រីល្អពីយើងរាល់គ្នាតើបងប្អូនមានជីវិតពេញបរិបូរណ៍មានសង្ឃឹមដែរយើងថាយើងជឿព្រះពិតហើយយើងមាន
with our family and ministry over these past many years. It's been God's faithfulness and His goodness that has sustained us and has enabled you to give your prayers, to give your finances, and we thank you from the bottom of our heart. And there are many, many Cambodian, Jom, and Goy people right here in this part of the world who thank you also. Please join with us in praying that God would do a great and a mighty work in the future. Here are just a few of the goals that we would like to see accomplished over the next 2 years.
For His faithfulness in our lives right here at home and His faithfulness there on the field. You know, in Cambodia, by the way, if you haven't found Psalm 76, go ahead and find it now. In Cambodia, before you build a building, whether it's a house, a school, a temple, a government building, a private building, you always do something that's very, very important, especially if you're building some place where there's never been anything previously built, like a rice field. You always call the monks, the priests, the witch doctors, the local officials who are responsible to maintain order in the village. You invite them to come. You pay them a fee. They do different sacrifices in order to appease what they believe are territorial spirits who will be disturbed once you start digging the ground. And these people live and die by this type of a mentality. How many of you know that when we built the church building, when our 85 members built their homes, represents, I don't know, maybe 22, 23, 24 homes, not a one of us called a witch doctor or a priest or a monk, we didn't even call a white monk to come and to bless the property. You understand that, right? Now, why do you have to bless the property? You have to appease those territorial spirits so they don't cause harm to come to your village. So things like storms don't come to your village. So pestilence doesn't come to your village. So your village lives in peace so that your children won't get sick. And this is one of the big strongholds for believers when they convert from Buddhism in Cambodia, from Islam in Cambodia, because, of course, when we're in Christ, we're a new creation. And greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Amen? We believe that? So it's true in Cambodia, too. And so our people always take persecution for not jostang dang bot, for not going with the flow. Okay, I may throw in a few Khmer words, because we have an awful lot of Khmer people in here today, and even some folks that aren't Khmer that are wearing Khmer outfits. So it's just going to happen, okay? So, you guys tell me, who got the blame when the church roof and the pastor of the church, when their roofs blew off? Who do you think got the blame? You guessed right. Okay. In fact, when our people would go out and try to talk with villagers subsequent to the storm, villagers would always say, you know, we built a house, but we called the monks. We still have a roof. Wow. You know, when you invade the territory that's been under darkness, the power of darkness for centuries, things like this are going to happen. I believe God allowed this storm to take place, and I believe that Satan caused it to happen. Now, we know the devil is not all-powerful. The devil is not omnipresent. He's not omniscient. He doesn't know everything. He doesn't have all power. He doesn't have all wisdom, but he does have some power. By the way, the power he has is power that's delegated. I like to explain to our people there in Cambodia, when they come to Christ, there's no reason to be afraid of devils anymore. They cut the strings off and they do different things to show their faith is in Christ alone. And I remind them that the devil is similar to a dog who is on a chain, and God is holding that chain, and it's up to God as to how far he allows Satan to tempt us, to test us. Yep. About the same time we began breaking ground for our new land, two or three rice fields over, someone else began breaking ground. Oh, we would dig, they would dig. We would add extra dirt, they would add extra dirt. We brought in probably 200 truckloads of dirt. I don't know how many truckloads they brought in. But it seemed that they would parallel whatever we were doing. We started putting up walls around the circumference of our property to keep people from stealing our property. They did the exact same thing. Wow. We broke ground, began building, they began building. I'm like, who in the world are these people? What are they building? I'm thinking, man, it's probably some Korean cult or something, because that's pretty prevalent over there. Nobody's going to build in the middle of a rice field unless you're poor Baptist missionaries, okay? Why do you think we moved an hour away from where we planted the church? Because where we planted the church, where you saw that downtown area, land, the cost of land is between $250 a square meter, clear up to $1,200 a square meter. You say, well, how much is a square meter? Basically, square yards. Picture the size of a ping pong table. That's about maybe 2 square meters. Well, you're not going to have a very big church building for 2 square meters, are you? Okay. So we kept moving further out until we found land we could afford. And so these people were building the same time we were building. So I decided one day, well, I'm going to go over there and meet them, find out who these people are. The head honcho wasn't home, but the second guy in control was there. And I said, hey, my name is Dave. I'm from, he said, I know where you're from. I know who you are. So, well, who am I? He said, you're from the school. I'm looking around, what school? We didn't build a school. We built a church. I'm thinking maybe Brother Vong had lied to them and said we were building a school because he didn't want the persecution. Brother Vong, if you're watching this, I know the way you, I'm pretty sure you're the one that lied about it. I didn't tell anybody we built a school. Okay? I'm joking. The word had been spread around because we're all foreigners. We moved there. Everybody assumes you're building a school. Okay? So I said, okay, I just played along with them. Yeah, I'm from the school. I said, what are you guys? He said, well, this is a meditation center. I said, okay. And I played dumb. Well, what's a meditation center? Now I know what it is. And friends, it's a place where a witch doctor has set up a headquarters. And there in Cambodia, if there's someone you don't like, you can hire him and all his little amigos to put a spell on people you don't like. And there's a very good chance those people will become mentally insane, emotionally unstable, they'll become sick. Or, conversely, if someone has put a spell on you, you can go to him, you pay a fee, and however it works, those spirits will be released and you'll become a normal person again. It's a meditation center. And by the way, we're seeing these all around America too. The thing that shocked me and my wife is we're sitting in a coffee shop early one morning after arriving back in America about 3 months ago. We're sitting there and we're watching a young lady, apparently very educated young lady. She was well-dressed. She was in a coffee shop, sitting there with a very nice little MacBook, a little notebook, a pen, and a big smile. And she began pulling out these cards and laying them out on her table. And she would look at the cards, she would look up, stare straight ahead, smile, and then start writing things down. Well, I didn't think a thing about it, but my wife, she said, they're doing the exact same thing that the witch doctors do in Cambodia. I'm like, what? I looked at her, sure enough. Guys, she was having her devotions with the devil right there in the coffee shop. Third world occult is not unique to the third world. It's right here in your midst. There's a great need for a friend day. There's a thank God for a church like Pacific Baptist that loves souls and is willing to not just go out and win souls, but we're willing to have a day like Friend Day where it's convenient for unsaved people to come here and there's an environment created, an environment, an expectation. They're going to come, enjoy themselves, but they're going to hear preaching, they're going to hear testimonies, they're going to enjoy fellowship. It's going to bring conviction to their heart and they're going to be saved. But there in Cambodia, you need to understand that when, as we invade this territory of darkness, darkness is not just going to sit there and be passive about it. In church, again, you need to stand with your missionaries in prayer. Stand with the national believers that are taking a stand. They're not half in, half out. They're fully committed. Please support us through prayer. Amen. We had a group from our church here several years ago come and visit Cambodia, and they were Cambodian-speaking folks. And it was kind of amazing, Pastor, because they had never seen our ministry in Cambodia, and as I'm talking with them, they're like, yeah, we're gonna share our testimonies, and we're gonna, you know, help motivate the people to be real Christians and this and that. I'm like, all right, good. They show up at our church, and this is God's faithfulness, this is God's grace. It's not because of your missionary team. But can I tell you something? When they got to the church, they didn't dare get up and share a testimony. Because the zeal in our church there, the fervor of the believers, the joy that our believers have there, caused the devotion of these folks who had traveled from our own home church to go visit in order to help make disciples. They didn't dare say a word. They realized they were out of their league. Guys, it's very, very convicting. I have to be honest with you. Again, I'm one of you. We kind of grew up here. Your team is you. It's very, very convicting for us to be over there serving the Lord and bringing the gospel and training and just trying to build up men and women and young people who, when they accept Christ, they pay a great, great price.
Yeah. Amen.
They pay a great price. Sometimes they're physically beaten. Sometimes they're fired from their job. We have a young college-age young lady during this whole pandemic thing that she was threatened that if she came to church, this is before the lockdowns, if she came back to our church, she would be fired. Well, she came back to church, and she was fired. It's very humbling, guys, to try to serve the Lord amongst these people. When you think of third world, don't think of people who are backward, who don't know anything, who probably need the type of Christianity that we're bringing them. No. The honest truth is, I need some of what our people have over there. They paid a great price to follow Christ. In Buddhist and Muslim countries, you don't pay a price at all to pray a prayer. But you pay a price to follow what the Word of God says in your life. Yeah. And I don't think it's an accident. I don't think it's just happenstance that this witch doctor decided to build just a half a block from our building. Here's the catch. When our roof blew off, the church roof broke into a bunch of pieces and flew over and landed in a pond, I don't know, maybe about a block away. Terrible thing. Can you imagine that? 1 week from dedication service. Gone. Pretty discouraging, actually, to be honest with you. But our house roof, the roof on our home that we had just completed, it blew off also. And when it blew off as a one piece, like a huge frisbee. Lifted up, kind of like a UFO, you know, I'm here. And do you want to know where it landed? It flew over a couple rice fields, a few palm trees, a couple buildings, and it landed within a foot or so of the witch doctor's door. It really did. And here's what I believe. I believe the devil meant it for bad, to discourage our people, to scare us off, to cause the villagers to be so scared of the Christians because we had brought chungrai to their village. We had brought bad luck to their village. But you know what God confirmed in my heart as I'm a little bit discouraged right after that storm, and I'm thinking, I really began to get really scared. Whoa, someone could have very easily died. Can you imagine what would have happened to our church, the cause of Christ, had that storm caused the roof of the pastor or the roof of the church to kill people in our village? Yeah. You say, well, that was the cause of nature. That's not the way they look at it over there. Yeah. Who are the ones that didn't do the necessary things to keep the spirits happy? Who causes the storm in their mind? We know God's in control. And God brought great peace to us as we're singing, "It is well with our soul," and we're crying. Not because of the finances, who cares about the money? But it's like, man, the vision. What in the world's going on? But at the same time, God reminded us, said, you know what? The roof dropped right in front of the door. Satan's on a chain, and God controls how long, how far out he can go. Amen?
Yep.
Psalm chapter 76, verse number 1. Our time is very short. I believe we'll go about 15 minutes. I'll give a very abbreviated message this morning, just one thought of a challenge. No slides this morning. And the reason is this, because with the short amount of time, I don't want you to know that I didn't get through the message. So you'll have no idea that I didn't get through. When I quit, you'll just assume that on my notes it says conclusion, all right? That idea came from my wife this morning. She said, honey, if you don't put slides up there, they won't know you didn't get done. So I'll only know. Psalm chapter 76, verse number 1. In Judah is God known. His name is great in Israel. Let me read verse 1 again. In Judah is God known. His name is great in Israel. As the psalmist wrote there, he talked about a place called Judah, a place called Israel. And that place of Judah, God's name was known. In a place called Israel, God's name was great. Let me say this morning, friends, God's name is known right here in Long Beach, California. God's name is great here in Long Beach, California. You say, well, not everybody recognizes God's greatness. No, but here, a few hundred of us do recognize God's greatness. Amen? There's many other places around Long Beach today where God is celebrated, where God's glory is exalted, where people are worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ, right here in Long Beach. By and large, God's name is known in the United States of America. Yeah. You say, well, not everybody's a Christian. That's absolutely right. But isn't it a blessing that God has established a church right here on this corner for 33 years so that God's name can become great to those who are lost? That's our responsibility right here at home. And before we think about going overseas and going to the uttermost places of the world and the places we're going to talk about in a moment here, we need to remember that it's been said, the light that shines farthest shines brightest at home. Right. Don't ever substitute giving money to foreign missions for being zealous to win souls right here at home. Don't fall into a trap of thinking soul winning is something that takes place for 45 minutes on a Tuesday evening when you get together and you circle a block and you drop off a few tracks. Well, I've done my duty. That is not soul winning, friends. That will not result in the lost being saved. That is part of getting the gospel out. But soul winning is something that takes place day in and day out. As you go to work tomorrow, you build relationships. You celebrate holidays with unsafe family members. That's where real soul winning takes place. Friend Day, that's for soul winning. But by and large, here in America, we are similar to Judah and to Israel. God's name is known. I'm thankful that God is a God who can be known and desires to be known. God didn't just create us and just throw us out on our own and say, good luck, hope you can figure out what the purpose of life is. No, God has clearly shown us who he is. He desires to be known, and he's shown us how to know him. Yep. Amen? So the question this morning, friends, and I'm talking to believers, the question is this, do you know God? Now, I don't mean are you saved? And by the way, if you don't know for sure that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that if you were to die today, that you have a place in heaven, if you somehow believe that you can do enough good to outweigh the bad, then I invite you to talk to someone this morning and find out how you can know for sure that you're in right standing with this God who's created you. But for most of us, I assume we're saved. So the question to those of us that are saved, myself also, is do we know God? Because you said that, you see, the Apostle Paul said, and he's an apostle. He had suffered persecution. He had taken a great stand for the Lord. He had planted churches. He had led missionary teams. He had taken the gospel to places like Ephesus that we considered earlier in the week. And there was a great door, an effectual door, and many adversaries. But you know, towards the end of his life, he said, you know what? I have a real big goal. He had several goals, but one goal was that I might know him. Let me say this, friends, the more that we know God, the more we'll love the thing God loves. Yeah. The more we know the heart of God, the closer we are to God, the more we will begin to think like he thinks. We'll hate the things that he hates. We'll have an affection for the things that we'll have a broken heart for the things that break the heart of God. Yeah. So the question is this, as we're talking about the call to missions, do you know God? Because God's heart has been clearly revealed in the 66 books that we call the Bible. Yep. And he came to seek and to save the lost. And he's jealous for his glory. You say, what is missions all about? Missions is because, and missions exists because wrong worship exists. You see, when people give and they try to steal the glory from God and give it to idols, give it to the sun, the moon. We have young people in our church before they were saved. They're in our Bible college now. Before they were saved, they literally used to pray to the moon. You say, well, they must be some kind of wacko weirdo or what? No, they're normal people over there. They literally believed that Preachan could help protect them. Preachan, the moon. We have people that we deal with who used to pray to the sun. You say, well, I thought that took place a long time, you know, with the Incas a long time ago. No, it takes place in current Cambodia today. Here in America, God's name is known by and large. Doesn't mean everybody knows him. Now, we have a responsibility to be witnesses, right? Amen. We have to have a plan to get not God's name to become glorious and become wonderful to those people who don't know God. But the psalmist in Psalm chapter 74 talks about another place. Let me draw your attention to Psalm 74. A different place where God's name is not known. where God's name to these people is not great, a place that is desperate to live in. Psalm 74, verse number 20, I hope you see it there. And the psalmist says, have respect unto the covenant, for the dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of cruelty. The dark places. Can you say dark places with me?
Dark places.
So there was a place called Judah. There was a place called Israel. In Judah, God's name was known. In Israel, his name was great. But then there's those dark places. And those dark places are characterized by habitations of cruelty. The dark places were places that were difficult to live in. Now, I believe the psalmist was lamenting. He was asking God to please take note of the condition of his people as they were living underneath Babylonian captivity. They were living as slaves to the Babylonians. And how many of you know when you live as a slave, it's generally not a good life?
Yeah.
And it's described here as a habitation of cruelty. Let me tell you, friends, there's places around the world where God's name is great, but people don't recognize it, and those are very, very dark places. In the New Testament, the term for dark places, I believe, would best be described as the uttermost parts of the earth. You see, we're commanded here to be witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, the Samaria, and all Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. So as we discussed Friday night, I think it was, we're commanded to move from the known to the unknown. Our Jerusalem is what we know. It's right around here. Judea is not too far from here. I describe the Samaritans as the groups of people in our midst who are generally not accepted by society at large, maybe because of their social economic status, maybe because of their educational status, maybe because of the color of their skin, maybe because where their zip code happens to fall. And so we're commanded, if we love Christ, we're commanded to pursue them and to make them welcome. Amen? That's God's heart. Praise God for the way our congregation looks this morning. Thank God for this. This is what heaven will look like.
Yeah.
See, you see, society wants to draw us all apart and talk about differences. Praise God that in Christ we're one. And we got to protect that, by the way. We got to protect that. Don't ever be a part of this us and them. No, it's we. And we are a peculiar people. We are called to do great things for God because God is a great God. So we move from the known to the unknown. And in the book of Acts, the unknown is referred to the uttermost parts of the earth. And the psalmist refers to these uttermost parts of the earth as the habitations that are full of cruelty. Let me tell you, friend, these places are not dark because they don't have electricity. They're not dark because they don't have enough money. Yes, poverty is real in Asia. Poverty is real in parts of Central America and South America. Poverty is even real in parts of America. Don't let anybody tell you there's no poor people in America. Don't let anybody tell you, oh, all the poor people are just lazy. That's absolutely not true. Now, some of them are. Okay? But not everybody. But these places that are described as dark and full of the habitations of cruelty, they're dark not because of what they're missing physically. They're dark because they are in need of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, nearly every face that you saw in the video, in fact, every face was saved as a result of our church right here and other Christians in America who have given and prayed so that we could go. You know, Brother Vong was saved here, if Brother Vong is saved. Now, if he keeps lying as much as he's been lying, I don't know, okay? I have to check up on that. Brother Buna, you saw him. He was saved as a bus kid, basically, public school kid right here, you see? Even Brother Chim, our comedian Brother Chim, was reached as a young person right here. But every one of those faces, virtually every one of them, were born in abject poverty, born in places without running water, born in places that I promise you, most of you would not dare, and I want to say this with respect to our brothers and sisters back home, but you would not put your dog or your cat where some of our people live. I promise you that. You see, we used to love thunderstorms. We used to love rainstorms. We used to love to go to sleep when it's thundering and the rain's coming down. And there's a lot of rain in Cambodia, amen? That was until we realized that many of our church members spend the entire night bailing sewer water out of their home. I don't like thunderstorms anymore. I don't like it when it rains anymore. Some of the sweetest young people, Deborah knows this, some of the best Christians you'll ever meet in your entire life, who have paid a great price to be saved.
Yep.
Starts raining during the night, they have to get up and start bailing out, not water, sewer water. I promise you, if you get on an airplane, don't go until after COVID, but if you get on an airplane, you fly there, and you sit down and you talk with our young people, you will meet young people who are dirt poor, but I promise you, they have a joy in the Lord,
yeah,
a contentment that 95% of us in here do not have. I'll be honest with you. Don't have. You see, because here in America, friends, and I am American, I know, here in America, we tend to look to a lot of things that are not capable of giving us joy, but we tie our life up into those things. We watch TV programs that help to stir up that covetousness and cause us to go to Lowe's and Home Depot and go into debt and remodel the home, and we think that's going to bring us joy. Those things aren't necessarily bad. I'm not preaching against those. What I'm trying to get us to understand is that's not the source of joy, and that's also not the reason why these places are called dark places, because they don't have what we have. It will shock you when you go to the mission field, if you go to a third world country, and you go to a ministry that's got the Holy Ghost on it, got the power of God on it, and it's full of love and joy, it will rebuke your Christianity. I promise you that. Are we okay with this? It's honest truth. So guys, here in America, we've got to get with it. Listen, we brought the gospel to them. Why is it that some of us this morning are highly discontented with our life? Maybe we're tying it up in things that cannot bring satisfaction. Don't look for satisfaction in all the wrong places. So these places are dark because they need the gospel.
Yeah.
By the way, that's why we're having a missions conference.
Right.
That's why we're having a missions conference that's called The Call to Missions. My emphasis this week has been the emphasis that our pastor has asked me to focus on. I haven't talked much about money. He didn't ask me to talk about money. He does a very, very adequate job of doing that, talking about it. That's why you guys, sometimes you leave your pocketbooks at home during missions conference, right? We're going to take that offering for Luis. Hey, Debbie and I have our offering prepared. We're looking forward to giving it tonight. We want to give because we want to see that work there in Central America thrive. We want to be an encouragement to Brother Luis and to Juana, okay? But these places are dark because they need the gospel, and that's why we have a missions conference, and that's why Pastor has asked me to focus on going. Going. Guys, it's been a long time since anybody's gone from our church. Do you remember the little phrase I taught us? A church that doesn't send is a church that will end. Now, this needs to concern us. Because the truth of the matter is, we can this week, today, we can choose the next few days to cause to bring about a, allow God to bring about a revival in our midst of going. A revival of going. This week, friends, if all we do is raise enough extra faith promise money to support Rock of Ages, this fellow going up to Washington, whatever other projects you have going, if that's all we do, I'm going to tell you the truth, this week is a failure. Because we said the purpose of this week is the call to missions. I know for sure God is working in some of our hearts. And by the way, don't get nervous. You say, well, God's not working in my heart. Don't pressure me, Brother Board. By the way, if there's pressure, it's not from me. Because I am under no illusion that all of us should get up out of here, drive to LAX, and fly to Southeast Asia. Absolutely not. That wouldn't make any sense. Many of us should be faithfully committed to ministry here at home. Hold the ropes here at home. Be passionate disciple makers here at home. Don't just sit in a pew here at home, but be vitally involved in the outreach here. But some of us that are feeling pressure not from me, because I'm not a salesperson. Salespeople pressure us. I'm just a messenger to tell us, if we want our church to survive, if we want God's hand to remain on our church, hey, let's be passionate about Friend Day. Let's be passionate about soul winning here at home. But some of us need to take that hard step and just surrender our will this morning. And say, I've been fighting this call for so long, I'm not going to fight it anymore. Tonight, Lord willing, if the rapture doesn't happen, now if it happens, I'm not going to be here to preach, but I'm going to have Brother Ross preach my outline for me if I'm not here. So you'll hear it either way if you're still here. There's really three responses we can give to the Lord when his call is very clear to us. We'll find out tonight what those are. Every single one of us that are feeling a call, that have heard a call, are answering in one of these three ways. And so this morning, friends, as we close, and I'm over, so I'm going to bring hope. Pastor Meyer said hope is a good thing. He told me that the other day. Close the Bible. Tons more I want to say. But to summarize is this. There are many, many places around the world that don't have what we have here. And I don't mean the building. Thank God for our building. I love our building. It's awesome. It's good to have a place to be able to fellowship in the back. It's good to be able to have the balcony that, Lord willing, will be filled up one of these days. Yeah. Probably Friend Day. I don't know. Do we have the proper zoning to put chairs up? Don't answer that, okay, because we're live stream. We'll figure something out. Amen? Let me close with this before I hand it back to Pastor. You know, there is a universal need for food. Some of you have been thinking about food for the last 45 minutes, right? Okay. I'm going to Brother Ron Chow's house. I'm thinking about food right now that I think about it, okay? There's a universal need for food. It doesn't mean people here in America need food more, require food to live any more than someone in a dark place of the world needs food. Everybody needs food. Yeah. If someone dies here in America from starvation, that is tragic. Yeah. It's tragic if someone dies in Southeast Asia without food, physical food. That's terrible. But you know, if you die of starvation here in America, it's probably your own fault. Right? There's more than enough food all around us. If you don't believe it, friends, go home and look in the mirror. That mirror will not lie to you. It will tell you, you had plenty of food, okay? My wife reminds me, honey, you don't need that pastry. What? Be quiet, woman. Get thou behind me, Satan, okay? Now, she's a helpmeet, okay? That's why, guys, sometimes I have to sneak off, okay? Prayer walks aren't only for praying. Remember one time I snuck off for a prayer walk here years ago? You know where God led me during my prayer time? Right up to the donut shop to get one of those custard-filled donuts, okay? And it was God's will. It was during my prayer time. Anyway, I digress. Now, friends, think about this. We're going to close with this. It's terrible for someone to starve physically in America, but you know if you're born in a country where there literally is no food, there's no food, and you starve to death, well, that's really, really sad. Yeah. That's not your own fault. That's a result of corruption, politics, war, poverty. Now, let's talk about spiritually. Here in America, if you don't know who Jesus Christ is, by and large, if you're not a Christian this morning, if you don't know for sure that you have a home in heaven based upon the righteousness of Christ, not your own merit, if you don't understand that and you've never accepted that free gift, you know whose fault that is for the most part? That's your own fault. Why? Because we're surrounded by light here in America. There's churches everywhere. You say, well, a lot of Long Beach is pagan. Absolutely. But see, we're light right here. We go to work tomorrow, we're supposed to spread the gospel.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Now, if someone dies and goes to hell from America, that's a sad, sad thing.
Yeah.
It really is sad. And we don't want it. That's not the heart of God. God's not willing for any to perish, but for all to be saved. Right? Second Peter tells us. But here's the thing. There's many, many places in the world where they want to know who God is. They're searching for God because God is searching for them. And if somebody, just like this song, The Value of One, all he needs is a willing servant. Yeah. Now, do we just sing that because it sounds pretty with the piano and with 75 people? Or as we sing, all God needs is a willing servant, are our minds and our hearts drawn to the places where servants are actually needed? Long Beach doesn't need more servants. We have enough. You need to think about that. But there's places around the world who need willing servants.
Yes.
Not smart servants, not intelligent, not super gifted, not people with great charisma. If you have those gifts, God will use them. All you need is a willingness. And it's terrible for people to die and go to hell from America. God doesn't desire that. But how much more tragic is it to be born in darkness, to grow up in darkness, to die in darkness, to be lost your entire life, and never one time have the sense that anybody is even searching for you?
Yeah, come on.
You die and go to hell.
Yes.
You say, well, what happens to people that die in darkness who've never heard the name of Jesus? Well, the Bible says, if the name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they're cast into the lake of fire.
Yeah.
Now, friends, do we believe that?
Yeah.
You see, when we're going to talk about it, so parents, prepare yourself this evening. Parents, bring your seatbelts. Okay? We'll be led by the Holy Spirit, but I want to say a couple things to us as parents. I is a parent, okay? I remember years ago, when I first came here and Pastor put me in charge of the Khmer department, man, I'm 22 years old and I'm preaching about how to be a parent. I pity those poor people, 30-something years ago. I pity those poor folks. I was such an idiot, okay? I understand the concerns of parents a lot more now than I did then, right? But the thought for this afternoon, and may you think about it through the day, there's dark places, and they're dark. They need light, and we have light. We have extra light, meaning we have multiple leaders here. We're supposed to be about 2 Timothy 2:2, reproducing leaders in each of our ministries. It seems very logical to me that the heart of God would be to call some of these light bearers to go to places that are full of darkness. Now, would you be willing to do it? Would you be willing to say, God, I surrender my will to you? I'm done giving excuses. Time is short. I should have obeyed 5 years ago. God, it's been 5 years. You've been working on my heart. Every missions conference I've got conviction. Pastor said focus on going. So we're focusing on going. If there's pressure, it's pressure from the Holy Spirit. But let me say this morning, friends, there's people in Cambodia, in Laos, and in Thailand who this entire week and right now are fasting and praying that you'll say, yes, Lord, yes. That you won't just sing in a choir. That you won't just play an instrument. That you won't just direct a song that says, all God needs is a willing servant, if God has been calling you to be that servant, but you've been unwilling. Does that make sense? Are we okay? Don't stay home tonight because you're mad at me, okay? There's going to be a good international thing where we buy the food and all that, and Luis needs our money, all right? Okay, let's stand together, friends. I want to hand it back to the pastor.